Hey, St. John, welcome to the Post Sermon Podcast. I am Deaconess Dahlia, and with me today is Pastor Adam.
Hey, Deaconess.
So today we are discussing your sermon from this past Sunday, and both you and Vicar mentioned how Sunday was sexagesima. Yes. Am I saying that right? Okay.
I guess. Sure.
Okay.
I guess sima. Okay.
Gesima. Very good. Which means 60 days from Easter.
Yeah, it's about 60 days out from Easter.
Yeah, I noticed you both said about, so it's not quite at 60 or...
Yeah, I forget how it all works, but that's the idea behind these Sundays is we're counting down not to Lent, not to Good Friday, but to Easter. And I like that sort of aspect of these weeks.
And in the one-year lectionary, isn't this technically pre-Lent season as well?
Right. So it's still green. It's pre-Lent. So it's not Lent.
But it's getting us ready for Lent.
Right. And so, I don't know, we're just trying to figure this out as we go through it in these years. And even just what we're doing in the worship service, you'll notice things like the Alleluia has gone away before the gospel reading, but like the Gloria hasn't. And there are things like that that are, I don't know, we're kind of orienting the ship towards Lent, but it's not Lent yet.
It's starting to feel a little bit like Lent, but not quite.
Right. And most importantly, Lent ends and we head to Easter. And that's what it all comes down to.
So tell me a little bit about the text that you preached on.
This reading from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 to 13. Last four verses of the chapter. And it's the end of a pretty important section in Isaiah. The commentary I was interacting with was looking at just chapters 40 to 55. and then there's another commentary that was the 56 to 66. And so it's a end of a sort of unit, this song of the suffering servant, what Yahweh will do to rescue his people and save them. And we see here, especially in these four verses, the undoing of the curse.
Is that what it's called, the Song of the Suffering Servant?
I think I've heard it discussed that way. I am not as expert on Isaiah as others are, but I've heard it spoken in that way. I mean, even if you look at your book of Isaiah, the first 39 chapters tend to be prose, and you'll see in your editions of the Bible, it'll be paragraph format. But when you jump to chapter 40, which begins with, "Comfort, comfort ye my people," from there through 55, it switches to poetry and has that sort of song likeness quality to it.
Okay, yeah, because I know you mentioned Jesus as a suffering servant like a couple of times in it. So, yeah, I guess I was just kind of wondering about that connection.
Yeah, and that's one of the tough things if you're talking about a challenge of preaching is you get a reading from Isaiah, which is 66 chapters. Okay, here are four verses of 66 chapters. How do you talk about these four verses without thinking of everything else that's happening in the book, and especially in this unit that you get chapters 52, 53, you have the suffering servant, what he's done for us. We will read those on Good Friday. And knowing that that governs this section, this is why the section is ending well with return from exile and promise of new creation and all this, you have to be aware of what else is going on in the book. And that's even why I brought up the language of Emmanuel, right? Chapter 7, chapter 9. That's where the Emmanuel promise is. Hmm. And that was even why that was in the sermon, was trying to see the whole of the book of Isaiah.
I'd kind of like to talk a little bit more about Isaiah's words and like the occasion behind these words. Now, he is speaking to God's people who will one day be exiled, right?
Isaiah's writing 150 or so years before the fall of Jerusalem, you know, the final fall of it. And he's saying, here's what's going to happen, right? That's kind of the first 39 chapters is unpacking this. And in the midst of this very grim news, that's where the chapter 40 to 55 switch happens. And even the language of comfort, comfort.
Okay, so we have Isaiah giving this really awful news about what is going to happen to them, right? And then that switch, which you talk about in your sermon, it's there's this joyous news and almost seems like a disconnect, right?
Yeah,
between what was just previously said.
Yeah, just, you know, it seems too good to be true, and also just it just feels out of place. And interestingly, it has led some more sort of liberal scholars to try to cut up Isaiah and say, well, there's a bunch of different Isaiahs by different authors and they all get stitched together, rather than just saying, no, it's the one Isaiah that wrote the thing, and this is part of how God's word comes to us. You know, he gets these words of curse and blessing, of law and of gospel. And it really is too good to be true, but it's even better than that. It is that true, the comfort that will come.
Yeah, it's so cool. So he's not even talking about when the exiles can return back to their land, but I mean, you can look at the fuller picture that he's talking about. Creation will be fully restored.
Yeah, and especially in chapters 56 to 66, you get even more of this discussion of like on my mountain and the feasting and more and more and more is all happening.
I think this goes back to your central message of your sermon about how the occasion matters when God's word is spoken. What is the central teaching of your sermon?
The central teaching is the word become flesh will make the words of scripture come true. And especially these four verses, and honestly what the other readings are doing on that Sunday, I mean, we're really focusing on the word of God, the scriptures. You know, the word goes out in the parable of the sower. Or we think of Hebrews 4, the word of God is like the sword. It's living and active. And then you get this Old Testament reading paired to it. I had to deal with the idea of the scriptures, the Bible. But at the same time, we have Jesus who is God's word in the flesh. And I wanted to reorient ourselves to looking at God's word in the flesh and how he validates the scriptures. He makes these things come true. And to make sure we have a sort of right ordering of these things. So if we look at Jesus, and then we can trust the Bible. And because of Jesus, this is why we can read the Bible and say, this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. This is why we can cling to these promises. This is why sharing God's words and verses and chapters and all this matter, because the word become flesh is risen from the dead.
And you mentioned just the importance of the occasion, how that will, it depends on the context of what's going on, will shape what part of the word of God is spoken. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I was wanting to, the structure I was dealing with was trying to talk about an experience I have related to experiences that everyone in the room has. Then we go to God's word, and having gone through God's word and what's happening there, how does it affect the hearers and then all of us together? It's a sort of relational sort of way of thinking. And when I go on visits or what to preach on, I mean, you know, the lectionary is pre-selected, but I still have to kind of pick, okay, I want to focus on this reading and here's why. You know, it's this ongoing conversation of what of God's word do you bring into a moment, right? We got four verses of Isaiah, but there's 66 chapters, you know? And in various ministry situations, the readings will matter. I mean, Deaconess, you and I, we have the Pastoral Care Companions is a little resource that we carry around with us, and it has different topics and situations, and here are suggested readings and prayers and even hymns that can speak into different moments, and it's just something that we in ministry are thinking about all the time. You know, what's for this moment? What's for this occasion? What is the joy? What is the pain? And how does God's word speak truthfully into that? And so I wanted to take that experience of, you know, us in ministry selecting readings, but then also we as Christians do this all the time, even down to just the cards that we write, the verses that we share and post online or whatever it is. We're always thinking about how the scriptures matter. You know, what framed Bible verse do I hang up in my home kind of thing? Or if I mark up a Bible as a gift for someone, and what verses do I highlight and why? This all matters. And you're thinking about, who's going to read those words? Who's going to hear them? Their situation, their context, because we believe God's word actually speaks into all of it.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I can see what you mean from a ministry perspective, but also, yeah, just as Christians, we do get it that when someone's going through a really hard time, we're not going to necessarily give them words of law. We think more of like words of comfort or consolation in that moment, right?
So. Yeah, and so we have these sort of maxims of, you know, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, or does the situation need law or gospel? But even just more simply, like, it's a blessing of a home, what would be good verses to read about?
Right.
You know.
What was a challenge for you with the sermon process?
I think a challenge for me was dealing with the themes of the other readings. So as I already mentioned, you got the parable of the sower in Luke 8, Hebrews 4 speaking about the word of God, being like the sword. And then you get these four verses from Isaiah about God's word going out and does not return void. It does not return empty, that this word will accomplish what it will purpose. And very much it's focusing on, to me, the Bible, the scriptures, and what to say about them on, you know, 60 days out from Easter. I think it's very easy to sort of over-elevate the scriptures above Jesus, or to schmush them all together. Is that the theological word, Deaconess, to schmush them?
I think so.
And I wanted us to think about, we just came out of Christmas and Epiphany, and we think of the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's this Word of God in the flesh who makes the scriptures true and validates them. And so how to present it, how to go about it. I even thought about for a while for the sermon to think of how would Jesus have used the scriptures in his life? You think about him praying the Psalms and memorizing them and singing the scriptures and kind of the worship life of this Jesus who was also fully man and had to learn the scriptures. I thought about kind of going down that route and how that would shape our approach to the scriptures, but I just couldn't really put that together. Actually, I just had a thought. Let me open my hymnal here. We had the recital yesterday, and for our closing hymn of the recital, we sang number 796, When in Our Music God is Glorified.
Yes, I love that hymn. Yeah, it's nice.
It's beautiful. It says in stanza 4, And did not Jesus sing a psalm that night when utmost evil strove against the light? Then let us sing for whom he won the fight. Hallelujah. I mean, it's referencing on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, these are the opening words of Psalm 22. And so that was an approach I was kind of intrigued with, but didn't know how to pull off of how did Jesus read the Bible? How did Jesus incorporate that into his life and worship, and how the scriptures shape him? And that should shape how we go about the scriptures too. But I went this different route because I think, I had to go a different route.
Yeah, I'm sure that is hard to kind of narrow it down, but I did like the direction that you went with the sermon. And something else I really appreciated in it, you had that part towards the end about if we were to all look back on like our previous week, what are some words we would use to describe it? Like maybe joys or sorrows that we had, and imagining those being like journal entries all up on the screen. Yes. Yeah, so I don't know. How did you think of that? What were you hoping to achieve with that image?
Right. And so again, the idea of the structure is I'm going to talk about a personal experience that, you know, us, you know, picking verses for various ministry situations, right, for visits and so on. We all as Christians and as this congregation, you know, we share verses with one another, we share chapters. I had conversations with folks of, you know, I like to go to this, you know, these passages, and I encourage folks to do that as well. You know, how do we do that? And so we're thinking really specific situations, specific applications of verses and chapters and so on. And then the structure takes you into the Word of God itself. Okay, we have this text in front of us. Here's what God is doing. Here's the context, all this. And having heard that word of the Lord, that transforms coming out of it to, okay, so what does this mean for you all? What does it mean for all of us? And I was trying to highlight the while we do get specific and think about situation, you know, like I mentioned, blessing the home or even just different rooms of a hospital, when you bring God's word into there, you're going to pick different places, different prayers, different hymns, all of it. But on Sunday morning, it's a select set of readings for all the ears in that room. And so I kind of wanted to bring that to the fore of, you know, why do we do this sort of thing? Why do we have these sort of prescribed readings, even though we don't know what all happened in the world that week, or what will happen, you know, weeks out. But I know, you know, 4 months from now, I know what we're reading on Sundays. It's already been picked for us. And this word of God is truly for everyone in the room. And so that's kind of what I wanted to do with the sermon. I thought was kind of fun was, okay, there's this individual application of scripture to situation, but there's also just this scripture speaks into all situation. And that's what I try to do with that illustration of, if we all wrote down what happened in our weeks and put it on the screens just to help us think beyond ourselves and what we're bringing individually to the service that week. Here's what collectively is a congregation, and it is a whole mixed bag, I am guessing. And yet this word is true for all of us gathered. you know, it's kind of like you think of just how these scripture readings are sort of fixtures. They change week in, week out, but they're prescribed. Think about just like fixtures in the sanctuary. How many different times will you walk by that baptismal font, that rock? And in what stages of life and in what situations? And yet it's just always there. The different times we approach the communion rail to receive the body and blood of the word become flesh. All of it. The stained glass in these sort of permanent things and what we bring to them, not just what they remind us and bring to us. We bring something to that too. And so we bring collectively all sorts of experience to that specific reading of the word of God that week.
Definitely shows how difficult the task of preaching is.
Yeah. And honestly, that's what preaching is all about, is it's not just talking in the abstract, and it's not just here's a research paper on here's what the Greek and Hebrew is, and here's how people talked about it in the past. It's taking this timeless, unchanging word of God and believing Jesus does work through that in the lives of the hearers in that moment, in that occasion. That is what preaching is all about.
Yeah, and going back to like what you just said about the timeless word of God in Isaiah, like you mentioned how we hopefully will never really know what it means to be an exile, in the sense that people of God in that time were going to know. And yet we do know what it's like to be an accursed creation.
Yes.
Right? And so I did like that connection there.
Yeah, yeah. And part of that is just to honor our brothers and sisters in Isaiah and the people of his day, of this had very specific meaning and very specific context. And I did just didn't want to be like, we all know what exile feels like.
Because we don't.
And just cheapen that and just sort of allegorize right. it. But there is that sense of we know what it's like to be an accursed creation and just some of these aspects of this idea of exile.
Yeah, and how that just manifests so differently with, I mean, you just mentioned preaching to a whole room of people who are each hearing this word of God differently, depending, you know, on their context and everything. And yet we all have that same thing in common of just, yeah, living under that curse of sin. And then I appreciated, you know, of course, the gospel there of creation will be restored. And that kind of brings to light what Isaiah was saying in that in those words of his, almost gives us like a vision of what that will look like one day.
I think this also speaks to a little bit why we have this podcast and why we like to get questions from people, is we do know that God's word impacts us differently. We hear different things in the sermons, and just to have that further conversation and, you know, as the preachers, we miss stuff or we could have gone into this or, you know, there's some of that, but also I just encourage our members to be in conversation about the sermon, you know, whether it's over, you know, the brunch later that morning or just even later into the week, or you could even just set up a sort of habit of you maybe have a meeting at church and someone's got to open with prayer and devotion. It could just open by saying, hey, bring up something from the sermon on Sunday and let that be part of your devotion. And this is ongoing communal conversation around this word of God. There's something good about these sorts of habits, and that's all kind of in the air with this too.
Yeah, I like that. Well, thank you, Pastor. This wraps up the episode for today. Thank you for listening to our discussion. In case you missed the sermon or you'd like to listen to it again, the link to the sermon's in the show notes, and you can also find it on our church website, stjohndublin.org. If you, the listener, would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Okay, take care, you guys. Bye.